must be asked, and I'm sure you will agree. Are you a child of God?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Amen. We're bringing to a conclusion our biographical study in the Word of God, different individuals. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Job. The book of Job. If you're using if you're using the church Bible, the Pew Bible, turn to page 528. Looking at Job. Faith refined in the fires of adversity. Job, in the midst of his adversity, trials, and suffering, says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now that's faith. Paul will see elsewhere in Job, we'll be taking a look at it more directly, he says, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as full. Job. We're all very much aware of the patience of Job. In fact, that statement, having the patience of Job, is almost proverbial. We're not looking just at the patience of Job, we want to take a look at the faith of Job. How does Job express, how does he demonstrate that faith in this book about his life and suffering? Job is a masterful study, as you see there, of a righteous man who believes in a sovereign Lord and yet suffered severely under the hand of the adversary, Satan. Does not answer all the questions about suffering in the life of the believer, but it certainly gives biblical perspective, which we all need. It gives also answers of faith, and we all need that. It also gives real hope for the believer going through seasons of adversity and trials. The observing reader, as you read through the book of Job, will find many basic elements of the gospel, as true with all the Old Testament books, though a much neglected book, maybe one reason because this story is so long. Or maybe some say, well, it's so depressing. God tells us in this word to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 that all these things are important. The Old Testament saints, like Job, the Old Testament books, are all recorded and preserved by God for us today. That you and I would be instructed through them, that we would find great encouragement and find hope. Because we all go through trials, don't we? We all go through periods of suffering, times of need. We take a look at Job's faith. And the God whom Job believed in is the same God that you and I have come to know through his Son, Jesus Christ. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your great, great grace. Lord, we sing about it. We talk about it. We preach about it. Lord, we want to live with it every day. As you shower your grace upon us, your people, our families. Lord, as we look into your word, open our hearts, Father, we pray. And we'll do our part. Father, we'll open our hearts to your word, as seeking by your grace, understanding of this your truth, that it would effectively work in our lives, and that it would also equip us to speak to others of your saving and strengthening grace. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take out your outline before you, take a look. There is a threefold purpose of Job, I believe. First is personal, very practical. As you see your outline before you, this great book of Job explores the mystery of suffering. And it is a mystery. It's not a mystery when we have it, indeed, and we know we have suffering. But the mystery, if God is so loving and gracious and merciful, why does he allow suffering to come into the lives of individuals? And especially in the lives of his children. I think Job has some of those answers. He talks about suffering, the absorption, the response to suffering, and its values in the believer's life and witness for God. There's a doctrinal or spiritual purpose too in the book of Job. As you see in your outline before you, a clear revelation of the doctrines of evil, sin, knowledge of God, of creation, divine justice, repentance, God's grace and mercy, salvation, the importance of prayer is also written in the book of Job, and many other doctrinal truths important to the church today and the church's teachings. But there's also another purpose in the book of Job, as true with all the books of the Old Testament, a Christological purpose. And what I mean by that, and the way that term is used today, in the understanding of a biblical study, if you will, study the Bible and applying it, a Christological purpose is seeing Jesus Christ presented and proclaimed in God's Word. And we see Christ proclaimed from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Especially in the, if you will, in the Old Testament books too, we see so many marks in God's Word pointing to Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb. We'll be taking a look at that in a couple of weeks to come, and many others. But here in the book of Job also we see some elements of the gospel that point directly to Jesus Christ. As you see in your outline before you, there are two with great Christological teachings from the book of Job. Job is crying out, how can he, a sinner, come before a holy God? Is there a mediator in between the sinner and holy God? And you and I know there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One passage in Job that declares the gospel and points to Christ. And there's another passage too that we'll be looking at more specifically and more deeply, where Job declares his Redeemer. He knows. He says, I know my Redeemer. And so much after that too describes that knowledge and that relationship he has with his Redeemer. And that he will be resurrected. Yes, you can see the gospel in the book of Job. And so there are basically three areas of purpose. There's a personal and practical area, because all of us go through sufferings. How does suffering help us? How does suffering work out the will and the plan that God has for your life and my life, for us as a church family? How does suffering work? We have a prayer list. People who are suffering, people who are in need. How does that work out in their life by the grace of God? How does that work in the life of the church by the grace of God? I believe that Job has some answers to that question. I'll be taking a look at it very shortly. Okay, come back with me, if you will, to your outline. Okay? Are you there in Job? Job chapter 1. Now, it has 42 chapters. And so I had a hard time going through properly through Esther. You all remember that, right? Got things confused and flip-flop. Think what I can do with 42 chapters. Huh? Yeah, I know, you don't even want to think there. Okay. Well, 42 chapters. We're going to be looking at particular points in Job that speak of Job's faith. The same faith that God gives to you and me to have in His Son, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so when you and I do go through those times, or when we know others are going through times of suffering, the same comfort that we have received, Paul says, we can comfort others. And Job was doing that with those who were counselors. We'll take a look, if you will, into God's Word, but just a little bit, if you will, a bit of a background history. His suffering began with four great tragedies. Tragedy number one, the Sabaeans came in and attacked his farms and took all the livestock away and killed all the farmers that worked for Job. As soon as a messenger came from that area and told Job and gave him a report about the Sabaeans coming in and just ransacking and pillaging all the areas and killing the servants of Job, another messenger comes right after him and said that there was a fire and lightning had struck and killed all your sheep out of the pasture lands. As soon as that messenger had finished his report, there was another messenger. The Chaldeans, they came in and they robbed all the herds of Job. And as soon as he finished his message, one that was even greater, Job's 10 children were killed. They had gathered apparently up. Oftentimes they did for family reunions. Job didn't have to be there at that time. But his 10 children gathered together apparently with their families as well. And there was a strong wind. It may have been a sandstorm, we don't know, it may have been a tornado. But that storm decimated all over there in that building. Four great tragedies. How would you respond to that? Let's take a look at how Job responded. Take a look, if you will, you were there in Job. Job chapter 1, verse 20, and then Job arose and tore his robes and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And worshipped. He worshipped God. He entered into the very presence of God. Because he had some things that he had to just open his heart to. These are grievous tragedies that devastated him. Can you think about losing your entire family in one day? Losing all of your possessions. Then he goes on to say, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, for the Lord God was wrong. Job's faith in the midst of suffering and pain. We can see it first expressed here in Job chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Job had learned that all that he had was from the grace of God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. All is only temporary. And that's true in your life and my life too. All that you and I have is by the grace of God. He expresses that in this expression of faith and his commitment to the Lord as he worshiped the Lord and expressed his faith in a sovereign, gracious God. But there's something else you need. But God owns it all. God owns it all. So when we have it in our hands, when we have that in our life, when we have them in our household, our children, our grandchildren, they're God's. They belong to Him. He entrusts them to us. We are to be good stewards of what He gives us. Job was expressing that element of faith. Knowing that all he has comes by the grace of God, and all he has belongs still to God. Never belonged to Job. But there's something else that we see in the declaration of faith. God to be blessed, he's praised and honored. Not blamed. Because he is God. Job isn't, and you and I are. But God is God. Amen? So here, if you will, Job is expressing his faith in the midst of severe suffering, losing his family, his children. All 10 of them. Losing all of his possessions. Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He doesn't blame God. Have you ever been tempted to blame God? There are many that go through times of suffering. Even those who profess the name of Christ as the Savior. And they say, why? Why me? Why now, Lord? Why not somebody else who's living a far worse life than I am? God's sovereign grace. Job didn't blame God. Nor did Job point to others that maybe lived a life worse than he. He believed that all that he had came from God. But all that he had still belonged to God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He blessed God, not blamed God. That's a lesson you and I need to learn. I need to learn. When I go through times of trial, we need to see that biblical perspective that a biblical faith gives us on the basis of biblical truth. And this is part of that biblical truth, isn't it? The life of Job. It's not just the patience of Job. Yes, it's there. Praise God. But it's much more deeper than that, isn't it? It's a faith in Job. And a God who is faithful. And a God who gives and takes away. A God who rules all things. A God who is rightly to be worshipped and to be blessed and not blamed. You see, if we start with that in our season of suffering, it's just a downward spiral until we get further and further away from having that biblical perspective of who God is. Because then our suffering becomes all about me. All about you. Yes, it includes us. But Joseph's perspective was, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. It all belongs to Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless Him and not thank Him. It's a good lesson. Good lesson for the program. Let's go on. What about you and I? Well, we can see things a little more clearly too than Job saw, because we have the full counsel of God's Word. There in your outline before you, to strengthen all that was declared in verses 20 and 21, and even, if you will, illuminate it all the more for us today as children of God. Take a look, if you will, in your outline, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. So when you not lose heart, Paul's talking about suffering. He's talking about tragedies that come into the life of apostles, of Christians, of the church. So when you not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Praise God! There's something that is far more eternal than just the temporal that we see. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. The things that we see with our faith, the things that we grasp with our faith, God's glory, God's grace, God's mercy. We don't see those things that we can analyze them in a laboratory, but we certainly experience them, don't we? The things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Adversities and afflictions are common to all of us. Our Heavenly Father will use them all in our lives, in your life, in my life, in our life as a church. Those adversities, those trials, those tribulations we go through, He will use them all for His eternal purpose and our preparation for eternity to come. It's God's schoolhouse. That's what it is. God's training camp. That's what it is. And Job knew that. Job could say, in the midst of sufferings, we didn't get to chapter 2 yet, where he experienced all the physical sufferings too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, we realize too that our sufferings, our trials and tribulations, individually, as families, and as a church family, they give us a clear biblical perspective of what life is all about, where we can discern and begin to discern the temporal from the eternal. But there's also something else about Job's faith. Job's strong faith in his Redeemer. We mentioned this already. But he had a strong faith in his Redeemer. Personally. He used the personal pronoun there. Take a look at your outline before you. Have a passage from Job that we're going to be looking at. In all of these sufferings, in all of these tragedies, in all of these, if you will, the deteriorating health and strength that Job endured and experienced. He said, here in Job chapter 19, verse 23 through 27, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book." Job, they were! He didn't know it at that time, but God was recording them. And God reserved them for you and for me today. And so Job was prophetically, "Oh, if I could only record these things." And it was recorded. Aren't you glad? You know why? Because God did it for you and I today. Yes, for all Christians throughout history. But all those who are yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ too. Let's go on. He says, "Oh, that all that with a pen of iron, an iron pen and lead, they were engraved across forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will save, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yea, my flesh, think of that, yea, my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. He's just overwhelmed with this truth. This truth that he put his whole life and faith in. A Redeemer who he knew personally. He didn't say, I know that the Redeemer. He said, no, I know that who? My Redeemer lives. Take a look, if you go at this whole passage. Job knew his Redeemer personally. My Redeemer, that he lives and that he was. And Job also knew that because he knew his Redeemer personally, Job was redeemed. There was no doubt about it in Job's heart and mind that he was redeemed by his Redeemer. And that's important. There's a lot of people talk about the Redeemer, especially in the Easter time and Christmas time. They talk about the Redeemer, but they don't know that they're redeemed. And many who talk about the Redeemer are not redeemed yet. But Job knew his Redeemer. He knew him personally. And he believed in the resurrection. And we'll get to that shortly. But take a look, if you will, this passage. First of all, Job knew his Redeemer lives and that he was redeemed. A Redeemer. A Redeemer in the biblical language, if you will, or the biblical usage of that term, is one who rescues. Rescues out of danger. Rescues out of imminent, if you will, threatening death. One who rescues. It's also one who buys back. It's also one who sets free. You see, Job, in knowing his Redeemer personally, knew that he was the one who was going to rescue him. He was the one who brought him back. He was the one who was setting him free. And he expressed all that in his passage here, but really throughout the book of Job, but especially this passage here. And isn't that, beloved, exactly what our Redeemer Jesus Christ does? Amen. He rescues us from that final judgment and condemnation into the lake of fire. He rescues us from the grips of Satan, taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of light. He rescues us from the power of sin and its penalty. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. And he buys us back. He buys us back. He bought you back. He purchased us. He purchased us with his shed blood, his sacrifice right there on the cross. Starting next Sunday, leading up through the Passion Week, we'll be looking at different aspects of that reality and truth in your life and my life, in the life of South Mountain Bible Church. And how does that truth transform? How does that truth not only transform our lives, but transform the situation we find ourselves in? You see, for Job, who didn't know as much as we know today, but what Job knew, he believed in, because he knew his Redeemer. And that only transformed his life as a believer in that Redeemer, but it also transformed his soul. The Redeemer will bring all things to conclusion, where he says, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. He knows that his Redeemer will bring all things to conclusion. You know, the people like to tell us that, you know, life is just one big cycle, goes around and around and around. For some people, they just go around and around and around. The life in itself is on a path, is on a way, is on a direction, is on a trajectory, if you will, to a conclusion. And the big question is, for us, for our neighbors, for our family, where will you be at that conclusion? Where you will be at that conclusion, is determined where you are right now. The righteous, the Redeemer, will bring all things to conclusion. All of creation will bow down to him. All the nations will bow down to him, and he will bring everything to his consummation. Job believed in a physical and bodily resurrection. You know, my sins are destroyed from dust to dust. It is going to decay. But in my flesh, I said, what is Job talking about? He's talking about the resurrection that you and I believe in because our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, rose triumphantly from the grave. Amen? Amen. Yes. Job believed in the resurrection. Even without 1 Corinthians 15. Even without hearing about the empty tomb of our Savior Jesus Christ. Job believed in the resurrection. Because that is part of the truth of the gospel that came from the very beginning before the foundation of the world. Job believed in the physical and new body resurrection. Job believed that he would see God, his Redeemer, with his eyes. New eyes. New body. Wow. To take a look at what you and I have now, if you will, by way of revelation. We have so much more than Job had, but he had a name. He had a vision. What revelation God gave to him that he hung on to in the midst of the suffering and pain and anguish and his mourning and his grief. He didn't blame God. He blessed God because he knew that these irrefutable truths were anchors, not just for his soul, but anchors for his faith. Take a look, if you will. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father, our Father, your Father, the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Declaration. The reason why the world does not know us is that they didn't know Him. Didn't know Jesus Christ in a personal, saving way. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Boy, does that sound like Job or what? No, it's John. But Job had the same, that same living hope in a sovereign God who is gracious, who is merciful, whom Job could say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that Lord is my Redeemer. And my Redeemer lives. And I shall one day, when this body is decayed and turned to dust to the ground, I will stand there in this flesh and I will see him with my own eyes. I won't see another. I will see him. And John says the same thing. We will see him face to face. Beloved, that's the truth that you and I need to not only declare, but we need to live. Job trusts and surrendered to the Lord's work of sanctification. Number three, as we look at Job's faith, it wasn't just believing in a Redeemer who Job will see, and Job already knows personally, but he also says, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job believed in a Lord who was sanctifying him, who was transforming him, who was changing him. And he knew that these things that he was experiencing then, right then and there, God was using in his life. He knows the way that I take. He knows the way that you take. He does. And he's refining it. Just like gold. Just like gold. So when you and I stand up there, we're not going to be bright and shiny. But we're going to be just like Jesus. Amen? Do you know what Job was saying? That transformation begins now. It's in process right now. He knows the way that I take. And he's refining me now. that's what he's exactly doing in your life and my life. That's exactly what he's doing in the life of South Mount Bible Church. He's refining us, he's transforming us more and more just like his son Jesus Christ. You see, that's the evidence of the gospel, is to transform life. That's the evidence of the gospel that impacts our neighbor's life. When we love them, when Christ has commanded us to love them, we serve them, we share with them. Yes, it's even closer to home than that, isn't it? It's not just with our neighbors, but it's also with our family. Those who are near and dear to us, who see us in all of our warts and all of our cracks and everything else, but do they still see? Do they still see the light of Jesus Christ? Job trusted and surrendered to the Lord's work of sanctification. Job's way of life was known by God. The way he encountered the way he encounters trials known and directed by God. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a great passage is, there is no temptation or trial or suffering, or whatever it might be, the word is for us, there is no temptation or trial taking you, but such is common to all. Common to all of us. But God is faithful. That's a Job statement. Amen? But God is faithful. My Redeemer, I know him, and he is faithful. He knows the way that I take it. When I'm finished, he's refined me as gold. Paul says on there, he says, the God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted or tried or suffered beyond that you are able in him. In him. But will, with the temptation and trial of suffering, make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear. God will either bring us through or bring us out. God uses the trials to refine and to transform Job as he does us. The transformation God brings about is the Take a look at the scripture outline before you. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Refining. That's what it is. Refining. He restores, he confirms, he strengthens, he establishes you. To him is dominion forever and ever. So Peter is saying, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He determines the trial. He determines the time. He determines the outcome. Amen. Praise and worship is always included of suffering. Paul goes on to say in Philippians, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's sovereign grace for that work in Job's life. In the midst of some severe and great, great tragedies, four in the first chapter, his possessions, his children, chapter 2, his health. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he knew his name. And he knew that one day he would stand in the new body, new flesh, new eyes, and see his Redeemer. Not another, but the very Redeemer he put his faith and trust in. Even while going through those suffering times. We have another passage in Romans that again gives us even greater illumination and understanding. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, like Job, yes, he loved God. Like you and I, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you know that you're called according to his purpose? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know his love, his presence in you. To those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. You and I have greater, greater revelation from God than Job had. And even Job was salvation to our faith. Now, the Lord in the last closing chapters, Job suffered. Job knew that, and the Lord knew that. In the last chapters, the Lord was giving Job further revelation of himself, too. And you're outlined before you. Three reasons for preaching from the book of Job this morning. One, to proclaim the eternal riches of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. That's clear. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, all that we need for life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Number two, to focus on a few of the great gospel truths in Job to find hope and encouragement. That's what they're there for you and I to find hope and encouragement and be instructed. And then number three, I pray that it will stir your interest to read and study the work of Job. Study and show yourself the work of the truth by God who loves you and has saved you. Like Job, do you know the Redeemer? Do you know your Redeemer is Jesus Christ? Like Job, knowing Him that you are adopted into God's family, knowing that He works all things together for good, whatever you're going through right now, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, maritally, relationally, whatever you're going through right now, will you let God use it in your life? Can you say today, blessed be the name of the Lord? Lord, you know the way that I'm taking it. And I believe you'll refine me through. But if you don't know the Lord as your Redeemer, like Job knew him then, and we know him today, and you can know him today like that. If you don't, you can simply say, come to him as a sinner, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. I believe that you died and you rose again. Lord, come into my life and transform me into what you want me to be. A life that brings glory and honor to you. A life like Job, where I don't blame you, but I bless you. Father God, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Father, for the book of Job. Thank you, more importantly, for Job's Redeemer, Father, your Son, Jesus Christ. And that Job had that personal relationship with you, Lord, as his Redeemer. And Job had that wonderful truth and living hope for the day of his resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of the living, the Lord of the dead, and one day all over the grave will hear your voice and rise. Those who are alive will be changed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you are as our Redeemer, as we go through the times and trials and testings. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen.